Charlie.
What's up over there, aboard the Celia?
Look, they brought up one diver. There's another still on the bottom. An octopus has got him.
An octopus?
We've got to help him. Give the orders, Charlie. Get us over there alongside of him. Mr. Peters.
Oh, Captain.
Get me into the diving suit in a hurry.
Bring you another Story of the Sea, based on the true life adventures of Captain Gunnar Carlisle, world-famed deep-sea diver and soldier of fortune. Another page from Out of the Deep. After a thrilling but profitable adventure in Calcutta, India, where Captain Carlisle, with his good ship, the Blue Falcon, aided in pulling the liner Empress of China from the beach, following a hair-raising experience with a Black Panther in Madras, India, the captain returned to his base, dropping anchor in Santa Monica Bay. And then, after taking it easy for 2 weeks, he accepted a salvage job in the Hawaiian Islands. 2 days before sailing, the captain, Sharky Peters, and mate Charlie Bartlett had dinner with Charlie's sister, Mrs. Tom Bronson, and her son, Gary, Charlie's 17-year-old nephew. After dessert, Mrs. Bronson served coffee in the living room.
Captain, did I understand you to say that you brought the Panther all the way to San Francisco?
Yes, we put him aboard a German Hanseline ship and sent him to the Hagenbeck Circus in Hamburg.
We were mighty glad to get him off the Blue Falcon.
And you can kiss the book on that.
That's my uncle's favorite expression, Mr. Peters. Did you know that?
Blimey, do I know it? I hear it in me sleep.
Hey, well, look. Who fed the Panther on the way across the Pacific? That must have been a dangerous job.
Well, that toss fell on me, Gary. He clawed me up a bit once. But I soon figured out a way to put an end to it. Render him harmless, you might say.
How?
Well, the second day when feeding time came, I was prepared. I opened the cage door, looked him straight in the eyes. Never once faltering with me gaze. Then, quick as a flash, I got an hammerlock on him. Threw him on the floor of the cage, and in less time than it takes to tell, I'd put a pair of boxing gloves on his front paws.
Well, to change the subject, Caroline, what about this surprise you and Gary promised us this evening?
Well, it concerns a map that belonged to Gary's father. Will you get it, son?
Okay. But don't forget, you said it'd be all right with you. You know what I mean.
Sis, what is this about a map?
Charles, do you remember the story my husband Tom told when he came home for the last time?
Oh, about a treasure chest or something?
Mm-hmm, yes.
I have a sort of hazy recollection of it, but oh, sis, every deep-sea diver and every salvage man in the business knows, or thinks he knows, where there's buried treasure to be had for the asking.
Well, I suppose so.
Here it is, Mother.
Oh, thank you, dearie. After all, Charles, that's what you and Captain Carlisle and Mr. Peters thrive on, the treasure hunt.
Well, truer words was never spoken, Mrs. Bronson.
Tell him the story, Mom.
You didn't know my husband, Tom Bronson, did you, Captain Carlisle?
I never met him, but, of course, I heard of him.
Uh-huh. Well, I'll tell you the story as briefly as possible. You may or you may not place credence in it. Tom was captain and master salvager of his own ship, and he was diving for the treasure on the English ship Iris that had gone down off Kyla's Point in the Samoas.
Mm-hmm.
There'd been considerable dissension among the crew members, and Tom could only trust 2 of the 8.
They mutinied.
Now you ask me to tell it, Gary.
Yes, excuse me, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. According to my husband's story, he actually found the treasure chest that was known to be aboard the Iris. He was on the bottom alone, but Tom was afraid to bring up the chest, and he succeeded in placing it on a ledge in a cove near the shoreline under 30 feet of water.
And the other fellows didn't even suspect anything while Dad was underwater. Over an hour, too. Anyway...
Gary?
Okay, Mom.
Mm-hmm. He had trouble when he announced that he was giving up the venture. But with the men who were loyal to him, he succeeded in putting some of the men in irons. And then he sailed for home.
Now, the story's coming back to me, sis, but... What about the men who were his friends? Did he tell them that he'd hidden the chest?
Well, now, that I don't know, Charles. I was more concerned with Tom's illness than anything else. You remember he died shortly after coming home.
Yes, that's right. That was over 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
May I look at the map, Mrs. Bronson?
Why, of course.
Thank you.
Mother, you didn't tell him how we found it. See, Uncle Charlie, Mom asked me to clean up the attic this morning, and while I was up there, I stopped working for a while and went through an old trunk of Pop's. I found the map inside a tobacco pouch.
Yes, and so that was the end of the attic cleaning.
Say, this is interesting, Mrs. Bronson, and so is the story.
Yes, it is. Will you let me drop an eye on it, Captain?
So, Caroline, you think that after we raise the sunken yacht in the Hawaiians, we should go on to some more and find this treasure chest?
Charles, I have enough faith in the prospect to help finance the trip.
Well, we couldn't consider that, Mrs. Bronson. But I'll make a deal with you. You let us have the map, and if I decide to try for the treasure, we'll all share together in what we bring up, if we bring it up.
Well, then, all right. We can discuss that before you sail, huh?
But, Captain Carlyle, there's more to the bargain.
You think I don't know it, Gary? After the way you've been fidgeting around here, one foot to the other? If you want a ship on as a crew member, you talk to your uncle. He hires the men for me.
Uncle Charlie?
Well, I don't know. I'll take the matter under consideration.
When the Blue Falcon was 3 days out on her way to Honolulu, Mate Charlie Bartlett was stretching his legs on deck. His nephew, Gary Bronson, hurried out of the forecastle to him.
Just a moment, lad. What did I tell you? How are you supposed to address me when we're at sea?
I'm sorry, sir. Mr. Bartlett.
Good. You understand, Gary, it wouldn't look right. The other crew members would be apt to start calling you the fair-haired lad, you understand?
Yes, sir.
Now, what have you got to tell me?
Well, it's that new diver, Jim Tyler. It's his time on watch, and he can't make it. He's sick.
Oh, sick, is he?
Yeah, he's moaning and groaning like everything, holding his stomach. He acts like he's awfully sick.
Well, I'll go have a look at him. What seems to be the trouble, Tyler?
Hello, Mr. Bartlett. I'm in terrible pain, sir. Down here, my right side.
So? When did it start?
I had a few...
Oh!
A few twinges yesterday, but I didn't say nothing about it. It started coming on again about 3 hours ago. I ain't going to be able to stand watch, Mr. Bartlett.
That's all right. Andrews can take your place.
You see, I've had a kind of chronic appendicitis for a long time, but this is the worst attack I've ever had.
I'm sorry, Mr. Tyler. Lie quiet now. The captain will be here with his medicine kit in a few minutes.
Well, what do you figure, Mr. Bartlett? Make Honolulu in about 8 more days?
Hey, something like that.
Oh, I can't wait to get there. Skipper figures it'll take us about a week to raise that pressure yacht from his reports on the damage, so we'll have 7 days.
Of hard work.
Oh, I should have said evenings. On the beach at Waikiki, lolling under a palm tree. A cute little wahine strumming her blinking ukulele and singing to me. Oh, Bodkins, what a thought. A jug of a culiao, a ripe pineapple, and thou singing beside me on the sands. Oh, what a lovely thought.
It's a good thought, Sharky. But we're going to have to work 16 hours out of 24 to bring up that yacht. The quicker we get this job done, the sooner we'll be working over that wreck in the Samoas.
Yes, here comes the skipper.
Well, how's Tyler, Captain?
Well, I'll tell you the truth, I don't know, Charlie. I gave him something to ease the pain and put him to sleep. And put him on a diet indicated in the medical book.
Well, what's the matter with Tyler?
He's sick. Thinks he has appendicitis.
Blimey. Oh, I heard about it.
If he's really that sick, we've got to start thinking about getting in touch with a ship that has a doctor.
Yes. But, Captain, you sort of act like you don't believe him.
Got a reason for it, Charlie. He's talking about leaving us at Honolulu.
Oh. You mean he might be faking?
Possibility of it. It's happened before.
Well, righto, and lots of times. Maybe he just wanted a free ride to the islands.
Well, maybe I made a bad guess, Skipper.
Don't worry about it, Charlie. You can't always tell a man by the cut of his jib. It's only a suspicion on my part, and I may be wrong.
Hey, wait a minute. Let me knock me blooming thick skull.
Hey, what about?
Oh, I just remembered something. I saw Tyler on the wharf just before we sailed. Yes, he gave a telegraph boy a message, and then he counted out a bunch of bills and gave them to the lad.
Oh, he did?
Well, I thought he was just sending a telegram home or something. But, mateys, could have been a cablegram to YY. You get the point?
Yeah. If he gave a bunch of bills, it must have been a cablegram.
Probably some friends in Honolulu. He just took himself for a free ride.
Well, we'll find out soon enough.
Yes, but how?
We'll see how he stands up under a fruit juice and soup diet for a week or so.
Many days passed. There was a change in Tyler's condition. He said he was weak, but there was little pain. Whenever the weather moderated, he made himself comfortable on deck, in a deck chair, with a blanket over him. One day, Charlie Bartlett stopped to talk.
Well, Mr. Tyler, you look much better today.
That don't mean anything, Mr. Bartlett. I'll have to have an operation when we get to Honolulu. I was just wondering if you'd agree...
You want to be released from your contract.
Oh, that's what I was thinking about, sir.
Well, here's the answer to that. You bring me a doctor's certificate saying that you're too sick to go on. When we're ready to leave the islands, I'll give you your pay and release. But without it, no pay.
Hey, now, wait a minute, Bartlett.
Mr. Bartlett, if you please.
Oh, yeah. Sure, sure. Yeah, I'll bring you a doctor's certificate.
Captain Carlisle! Mr. Bartlett! I have something to report.
What is it, Lowing?
Somebody has been stealing food from the galley.
You're sure, Lowing?
You're sure. This morning there was missing from icebox one cooked leg of lamb, lots of meat left on it, 60 boiled potato, or one loaf of bread.
Tyler.
I got tired of the diet. All right, Lowing, thank you. We'll look into it.
Yeah, thank you, but I know Lucky Thief, and don't go. They said, you know,
Uncle Charlie, I found out something about... Oh, gee, I'm sorry. Mr. Bart.
What'd you find?
I hope you won't get sore at me, but I know you and Captain Carlisle are suspicious of Mr. Tyler.
Hurry up, out with it.
Well, it was known in crew's quarters in the forecastle, and I went through Jim Tyler's sea bag.
You went to...
And I found an oilskin packet that was full of papers and things. Maybe I did wrong, but here. Look at that paper in this picture.
See that? E.J. Curly Wilson. Discharge papers from Alcatraz Prison.
And look at that picture. It's a picture of my father's salvage ship and the crew. There's a name over each man, and see? Curly Wilson. This man, third from the left.
Jerry, hurry back. If there's no one there, put these back where you found them. Hurry it up. There you are, Skipper. You see what that guy plans to do?
He's going to try to beat us to the Samoan Islands.
And he will. We've got to raise that yacht first.
Now don't forget, Charlie. The chest of gold isn't on the sunken ship, according to your brother-in-law's story. Another thing, if Tyler's got money enough to finance an expedition to the Samoas, why did he ship aboard the Blue Falcon with us?
Maybe he had to. He could have money stashed with someone in Honolulu.
Okay. If the chest is still there, in that cove under 30 feet of water, he won't find it. Let's take it easy, Charlie, and see what happens.
When the Blue Falcon was tied up in hold...
I think we can bounce her in 5 days, Charlie. We'll put patches over the hull, outside and in, bolt them, pour the cement, close up 2 more compartments the same way, pump out the water, and bring her up.
On the evening of the third day of operations, Sharky Peters came to the captain's cabin to talk to him and to Charlie Bartlett.
It's the truth, Captain. Jim Tyler's in a place a few miles up in the hills, a small sort of private hospital.
Well, Charlie, I guess we were wrong.
Looks like it.
I got another bit of information, gents. There's a small salvage ship at Wailuku on Maui, and she's sailing at midnight. Ship's name is Celia.
Where is she headed for?
As I got it, she's cleared for the States. But, mateys, who knows where she's going?
Well, the yacht was floated, towed to dry dock. Captain Carlisle received a handsome sum from the owner. And soon the Blue Falcon was on her way to the Samoan Islands, particularly to a small, uncharted island in the group. When they were in sight of the little island indicated on the map drawn by Gary Bronson's father, they... Yes, you guessed it. There was a salvage boat working over the wreck of the English ship Iris. The Blue Falcon drew close to the other salvage ship. Captain Carlisle gave an order.
Listen, Charlie. We'll go past her port side. About 300 yards closer to shore than she is. And we'll drop both stern and bow anchors. I want to hold her in the position so they won't be able to see and find out what's going on in our starboard.
Gotcha, Skipper. I'll give the orders.
The Blue Falcon securely anchored, Captain Carlyle ordered a small boat over the side, and he and Charlie, with Sharky Peters at the oars, headed for the ship anchored over the sunken island.
Skipper, is Cecilia all right?
Yeah, I see.
She cleared for the stakes, eh?
Well, they don't seem to be interested in us. Just the one man leaning over the rail.
Uh-huh. They've got men working below. Two divers down. Give the guy a hail, Charlie.
Ahoy, Celia! Can we come aboard?
Yes!
Thank you.
He's a Jap, Skipper. Japanese.
In civilian clothes. Mm-hmm.
So I see. Pull over there, Miss Peters.
All right, sir.
Howdy. I'm Captain Carlyle of the Blue Falcon. This is my mate, Mr. Bartlett.
Yes. I am Koji Sakura, in charge of this expedition.
Oh, I see.
Of course, you came here for the same purpose as I.
Can't deny that. But you beat us to the punch.
Yes, yes. That is right.
And we've made a wild goose chase.
I am so sorry, Captain Carlyle.
How many divers have you?
Sufficient for the task.
Well, I just thought, inasmuch as we've made this long trip down here, maybe you'd like to make a deal. We could pull over alongside, and our divers could be working with you.
A deal is not possible. We were here first, gentlemen.
By the way, do you have a diver by the name of Tyler?
Tyler? No.
Or a fellow by the name of Wilson? Corley Wilson?
I have never heard of either. Now, if you don't mind, Captain Carlyle, may I suggest that you leave us to our work and return to the islands?
The suggestion is well taken, Mr. Sakura. But I promise my men a rest of 6 hours for some swimming and fishing and so on. Of course, they're as disappointed as I am.
Of course. But I should advise you to leave immediately after. Yes. You understand it would be somewhat annoying to have another salvage ship watching us. Do we understand each other, Captain?
Perfectly. Good luck to you. Come on, Charlie. Come on in my cabin, boys.
Righto.
Good work, Skipper. You were as smooth as silk.
Sit down, Foss.
Glad to.
Well, we've got the cove on the shore spotted. It's high tide. The treasure chest is supposed to be on a ledge about 30 feet down.
So, what's our next move?
Well, first of all, Charlie, how much air is in the compressor tank?
Loaded to capacity.
Ah, good. That's enough for two men for over an hour.
What's your idea, Captain?
Well, if we start the compressor engine, they'll suspect something right away. But now we don't have to. Now, here's my plan. We'll send 4 or 5 men over the port side to take a swim to keep the Japs' attention.
Yes, go on.
Then, Charlie, you and I will put on shallow water diving masks. And we'll wear light lead belts. And we'll swim underwater to the cove.
Right.
And we'll take a cable with us. We'll go over the starboard side so they can't see us.
Oh, blimey.
Skipper, this is great. We'll have air enough to make it over there. Tie the chest to the cable, if it's there.
Praise the Lord.
And get back without them knowing it. But if we start the winch engine to pull the cable, then...
Wait a minute. We'll start the ship's diesels to cover the sound. Make out we're working on the engines. Let's get going.
Wait, Skipper. My nephew Gary is a champion swimmer. Let him and me go over there. You should stay on deck, Captain. Gary will be tickled pink to go with me, and I'd feel a lot better if you were here aboard ship in charge.
Okay, maybe that's a good idea. Come on, let's tell the men to take a swim over the port side.
Five of the crew, following instructions, went over for a swim. They purposely made a lot of noise, laughing, yelling, and so forth, while a few men aboard the Celia looked down. In the meantime, Gary Bronson and his Uncle Charlie, wearing the small diving masks attached to the air compressor, lead belts about their waists, went over the starboard side and swam to the cove near the shore. Sharky attended to the compressor. There was no telephonic communication this time. Signals had been arranged by the old method, jerking the line to the diver and vice versa. They could only wait. Minutes passed. 20, 30, Then Sharkey felt three sharp tugs on Bartlett's line.
Skipper, there's a signal. They're coming back.
Okay. We've got to bring in the lifelines and air hoses by hand. Let's go.
Easy as she goes, Skipper. Here they come.
Yeah. Andrews.
Hey, Sheldon.
Tell those swimmers to come back aboard right away.
Hey, Sheldon. Come aboard, men.
Ready, Sharky.
All right.
You help the lad, Sharky.
All right, come on, Nipper.
Come on, Charlie.
Come on. Oh, for these ear moths.
Get them. There we are.
Holy cow. We found it.
Charlie.
Yes, Schooner. Right on the ledge as indicated. And it's secured to the cable.
Mr. Peters, stand by to start your winch. Start your winch motor as soon as I give the order to the engine room and the diesels are going. There we are. Well, boys, feast your eyes on it.
Skipper, will you look at it?
Oh, me eyes are playing tricks on me.
Holy cow.
Oh, lovely. British silver and gold Portuguese coins. Oh, my. Let me dip me pinkies into this. Oh, lovely, lovely. Oh, that's an healthy fortune, ladies.
May the saints praise your father's name, Gary.
Amen to that, says I.
Gosh, I'm speechless. I wonder how much is there.
We'll start counting when we're on the way, son. Pipe the crew, Charlie. Two anchors up and we'll head north.
Aye, sir. Oh, Skipper, couldn't we just cruise by the ceiling and sort of wave goodbye to the Jap?
From the nose with fingers extended.
Let's just give him a goodbye toot and let it go at that. Give the orders, Mr. Bartlett.
Soon the Blue Falcon was cruising slowly toward the Celia. Captain Carlyle and Charlie Bartlett were on the bridge. Suddenly they noticed a commotion aboard the other ship. One diver had surfaced, and the crew was helping him out of his suit. He was obviously in bad condition.
Charlie, something's wrong over there.
It looks like it. That diver's hurt.
Octopus!
Did you hear that?
Octopus?
Yeah. And there's another diver still on the bottom. Charlie, get us over there in a hurry. We've got to help him.
Mr. Andrews, hard astern, then swing over to the Celia. Slowly.
Hey, sir.
Mr. Peters.
Aye, Skipper.
Get me a diving suit in a hurry.
Octopus!
Gary, run to my cab and get my diving knife. It's on the desk. Hurry.
Yes, sir.
Helmet secured, sir. That other shoe on him, Mr. Peters. I'll put his lead belt on.
Right.
Skipper, won't you let me go down with you?
No, Charlie. It's too much danger getting lines and air hoses tangled.
For the love of heaven, be careful, do not.
I will.
Here's your knife, Captain. Sharp as a razor, both edges.
Hook it on, Gary.
Yes, sir.
Faceplate, Mr. Peters.
Faceplate, sir.
Remember, Gunnar, I'm ready to come down, except in putting on the helmet.
I'll keep talking to you on the phone, fella. Close faceplate.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Andrews, stand by to lower away.
I'm in bay, sir.
Faceplate secure, sir.
Help him over the side now. Hurry.
All right. Here we go. Over he goes. God keep you safe, Captain.
Lower away.
Lower away.
They were horribly tense moments for those aboard the Blue Falcon, and those on the Celia, too. They had no one to send to help the hapless diver who was in the grip of the octopus's tentacles 50 feet below them. Suddenly, Charlie Bartlett heard the captain's voice in the earphone.
I found them, Charlie. The water's black as ink. Well, here goes.
Be careful, Gunnar. Sharky, be ready to put my helmet on.
I got a hold on the diver. I got the diver, Charlie. I'm cutting my way out.
Skipper! Skipper, are you all right?
Yeah. I've cut three tentacles. There, I got my knife in his brain. He's letting loose, Charlie.
Good. Get out of it, Skipper.
Charlie, I'm free. But the diver's air hose is torn off. Bring us up in a hurry.
Two hours later, the Blue Falcon was heading north by east for Honolulu, An injured man was in a cabin bunk. His name? Curly Wilson, alias Jim Tyler, recent crew member of the Carlisle ship. The captain, Charlie Bartlett, and Sharky Peters stood over him.
That's right, Captain. That's right, Captain Carlisle. I was with Tom Bronson, his second mate. That's how I knew about the treasure on the Iris.
I see.
Why'd you wait all this time to bring it up?
I'll tell you the truth. I tried the easy way, I thought. To raise money to come back here. Got mixed up in smuggling. Went to Alcatraz for 10 years. They let me out after 7. I made friends with a lifer there. Told him about the treasure, and he gave me a letter to the Jap Sakura, who was holding a lot of the guy's money.
And Sakura financed the expedition with your friend's money, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Of course, by now, you know I was thinking about being sick.
We knew that, Wilson, but you raided the galley for food.
Yeah. Well, I guess a guy can learn a lesson even at my age. Especially when you're going to die like I was. You saved my life, Captain Carlisle. I'll think about that while I spend maybe the rest of my life in prison for breaking parole.
Is this on the level, Wilson?
Maybe I never was in my life. But I'm on the level this time, Captain. So help me God.
All right, Thaw. We'll put you in a hospital in Honolulu for treatment. We'll wait for you.
You mean you'd take me?
Sure. We'll take you back to the States. And I don't think you'll have to go back to prison. Good luck, Diver.
And believe it or not, Curly Wilson was released to the captain's custody and became a permanent and valuable member of the Blue Falcon's crew. You have heard another in the series Out of the Deep, based on the true life adventures of Captain Gunnar Carlisle. These stories are dramatized for radio by Ted Maxwell, who also portrays the role of Captain Carlisle. Other featured players were Charlie Lung, Charles Seal, Martha Wentworth, Eddie Firestone Jr., Herb Litton, and Norman Field. Music was composed and played by Joseph Enos, production and direction by Homer Canfield. Your narrator, Don Stanley. Be sure to be with us next week when Captain Carlisle sails to the Straits of Magellan to bring us another adventure in Out of the Deep. This program came to you from Hollywood's Radio City.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.